Hi there, this is Ed Sterk from the Bank of Montreal. Just one question that I seem to run into when talking to clients on Cameco is what, you know, at the moment, as far as it seems that the material gained from the Russian HEU deal is fairly important for Cameco's earnings. And one of the things that clients keep on saying to me is, well, what's happening from 2013 onwards? And I know that's quite a long way out at the moment, but can you speak in any specifics about Cameco's strategy for replacing the earnings that will be lost when that agreement comes to an end?
Tried to cover that a little bit, just so people on the web and elsewhere are aware. The Russian HEU transaction comes to an end at the end of 2013. Cameco receives about 7 million pounds a year from that transaction. A lot of questions post-2013 as to whether the Russians will continue to blend down material. Russians say quite categorically that they do not intend to. Industry doesn't quite buy into it, and so we hedge our bets a little bit. We assume that it will continue at about half the level. So instead of 24 million pounds a year coming into the market, the industry assumes about 12. Kind of gets put into the category of secondary supplies more generally, as Penny Bai will describe this afternoon. Post-2013, the Russians, if they do continue, will do it on their own. They will not have the need to sell through Cameco or the Western partners. So the question then, given that, what do we intend to do to replace it? If you recall, I said by 2018, we intend to have doubled our production of uranium from our existing suite of assets. Certainly, as I said, Inkai, going from being in the test mine last year, producing somewhere around 2 this year and going up to 3.1 for our share in a few years, ultimately, again, to 5.7 as our share. Cigar Lake, ultimately at full capacity of about 18 million pounds per year, 9 of which will be Cameco's share. You'll hear the good progress we're making there. Doubling in the U.S. from the current level of about 2 up to 4. A little bit more at MacArthur, where we're seeing some very interesting results. I said Rabbit Lake likely to be depleted. That's the operative assumption in 2013. We know that there are more resources at Rabbit, and now it's a question of bringing those resources into reserves, which we hope to do between now and the end of the year, and we're hopeful that that too will continue beyond 2013. Kintyre, I mentioned, certainly when we acquired it last summer at a very, very good grade compared to world grades and open pitable, I think holds the promise to be, one, an open pit and fairly low-cost producer. So in sum, remember we have 70% of Kintyre, 20 to 40 million pounds just from the existing suite of assets. There's a couple toward the tail end. Millennium would be one that would be in that mix, but the contribution toward the tail end would be relatively small. Okay, we generated one question. Thank you. Okay, here's one. Rudy, I'll get to you in a minute. Well, there's one right behind you.
Solomon Tonkin from Thomas Wiesel. I just wondered, with Cigar Lake, can we expect any adjustments to reserves given the issues that we've had there?
The Cigar Lake, and I presume everybody, because you're on the microphone, heard. Cigar Lake, you'll recall in 2007, I believe, we issued a technical report. Obviously, there hadn't been much of a change other than the progress we're making getting ready to pump water out, and we're getting there. So the issue for us is, as we now look and move forward in terms of mine design and these kinds of things, looking once again at reserves. Don't expect any change in terms of proven, right? Category, we don't know. that's being looked at, but they're really from a mine design perspective. They're there. We know they're there. A lot of the work we've done in terms of drilling holes from the surface has only reconfirmed high grade and the quality of the work that had been done over the years. So I wouldn't look for any of them to disappear. Rudy? Can we get you on the microphone?
Yeah, on Kintyre, roughly what might the time schedule be and how much money will you have to spend on exploration and other pre-production investments?
Mm-hmm. Kintyre, we were extraordinarily fortunate, put it that way, because when we bought it, there was a government prohibition against uranium mining, and about 2 weeks after we bought it, the government called a surprise election and lost. The government of Western Australia now is sympathetic and supportive of uranium mining, as is the federal government. So all of a sudden, an asset that we thought it would take two election cycles to go through before we got a change in government policy is all of a sudden one we can move forward much more quickly than anticipated. So what we're doing in this year and next is doing the confirmatory drilling on what Rio did in the late 80s and early 90s to bring resources into reserves. A lot of blue sky potential, so we'll be looking a little bit at that. You may recall, Cameco had a lot of properties around Kintyre even before we made the acquisition, and we'll be looking at those as well. At the same time, we are doing the background environmental work, working with the government and getting the regulatory regime in place that will allow them to process applications for mining. Infrastructure needs to be thought about, so all of the pre-feasibility work will be done over the course of the next 2 years, at which point in time, Rudy, we'll make a decision on timing, level of investment that is required. Until we get that work done, we'd simply be speculating. But if it were to all move forward, Kintyre would be producing in that, say, 5 to 7 million pound per year range within the 10-year horizon. 5 to 7 million pounds in total, but remember we still have the pre-feasibility work to do. Busily taking notes. You got another question?
Another question on this one on Rabbit Lake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've been coming up here now every 2 or 3 years for the last 10 years, and every time I come here, Rabbit Lake has 2 or 3 years reserves. and happily, unfortunately, you know, the new reserves keep being found. Give us a general thumbnail sketch, if you would, as to what the potential and the possibilities and probabilities are at Rabbit Lake.
Really off in the realm of speculation now.
Yeah.
When I first went up to Rabbit Lake as CEO, it was going to be depleted in 2003. And a lot of glum faces around, and really through the quality of the exploration work around that that deposit, and we call it the Eagle Point deposit, extended it out to 2007 and now through 2013. You're absolutely right. This seems to go in 2 to 3 year increments. Obviously, we're getting deeper and farther afield, and ultimately you're going to reach some kind of an economic limit. We know, Rudy, that there are resources out there that could give, say, 2 to 4 years of additional life that we've identified. And the issue for Rabbit is how much of that can be brought in as an economically recoverable resource.
And how much money are you spending each year finding those?
Oh, exploration, it's in the order of a couple million dollars at the most, I think. Now, all of the questions have been on the left side of the room, so on the right side of the room, is there anybody awake? Okay, well, if there are no more questions, Bob, then turn it back over to you. And once again, thank you for your interest in Cameco.